Alright, we left off yesterday, bottom of Kufiyud Amidbet. Gemara's question, Gemara was addressing Itmar Katan Mimitai Badu Ulam Abba. When does, from what point in time does a child, right, have or acquire Ulam Abba, or is entitled to Ulam Abba? It's really different opinions. One is Mishan Olad, one is Mishashi Siper, the time that he starts speaking. I mean, the second set, Mishan is Shinizra, from conception. And Mishash Nimo, or the time that he gets a Brit Milah. So we're up to the last. Now there's a Tana, Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Misha Shumar Amein. The time that he says Amein, that's the point in time where he gets an entitlement to Olam Haba. Shnemar, Pitchu Shearim, Yivyo Tzadik, Shomer Emunim. Al Tikra Shomer Emunim, Ela Shomer Amein. Right, not Shomer, in the guard of truth and reliable person who's a reliable person, but rather shomer amein, someone who says amein. My amein. What does the word amein mean? Right? It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kufyutet. What? Amar Rabbi Chanina means kel melech ne'aman. That's what the word amein means. And Rashi comments here, what is that? What does that amein? My amein. When you answer a bracha amein, how does this, what does amein mean in Kabbalat, the bracha or Kabbalat Yirat Shamayim? What does the amen mean? So Rashi says, what you couldn't, Shem Amin Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That he says that Hashem is the one, right, that does all. Hashem is the one who's Ne'eman. So it's almost like a Kabbalah of the Bracha, or a Kabbalah of that Hashem is really the one who can provide the Bracha. So that's the idea of the amen. That it's really, as a Nochikun, it stands for Kel Melech Ne'eman. Lachen, hirchiv shol nafshal para pia levli chok. Amr shlokish lemi shemeshayer afilu chok echad. Someone who leaves out even one item in a Torah, then hirchiv shol, the Gehenna is opened up. It opens up its mouth wide for them. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan lo nechal amarayu damar lo ochi. That's just not a good way to go. And this is really the standard by which you're setting, which is going to, if someone goes to Gehenna, if they leave out any one thing, one halacha, that's a very, very high standard. I don't think that's the standard that we're comfortable with. Ela, what? Afilu lo lamad ela chok echad. Yochanan teaches this, no. Even if he only learns one item, that'll be sufficient to protect him from ending up in the chivish chok. What does it mean, bli chok? Thank you, which is, bli chok means without any Torah whatsoever. Now, there are going to be a series of these types of explanations of psukim. We're going to have Reish Lakish of Yochanan, and we're going to have other Amoraim, who there's an explanation given, and then they say, wait a minute, that's too much. You don't want to explain it this way because the standard is too high. So here, Vaya, B'chol Aretz, Num Hashem, Pishnaim Ba, Yichrutu. There's no Vav here, Yigvau, Vashlishi, Yivater Ba. I'm Reish Lakish, Lishi, Shel Shame. It's the third one of Shlame, third, we'll call it a third of shame. You don't want to say this. Even if it's the third of Noach. So what they're saying is not so clear. That's why there's a huge Rashi over here about what exactly is being said over here. Reish Lakish, and this is what Rashi suggests over here, is that we have, if you look at the generations of Noach, Yavshem, Cham, and Yafet, right? So out of those, of the chosen, right, Shem is one of the chosen. That's one out of three that is chosen. And then from Shem's children, if you go down to Arpachshad, who is the third generation, third child of Shem, that's also the chosen individual. Because from that comes out Bnei Yisrael in the end. So once you've done that, you see that each time, only a third of those that are born or are chosen end up being down the line or kept or survive, become the chosen people. So because of that, Reish Lakish is suggesting that even Latid Lavo, it'll be the same thing. That only one third will make it. Only one third of the people will make it in Latid Lavo, out of Bnei Yisrael. So that's something that's very difficult, right, to swallow. That if only one third of the people are going to make it, that means two thirds don't make it. So Yochanan is not willing to accept the fact that only a third of the Klal Yisrael, a third of Bnei Yisrael, will make it, Latid Lavo, and make it to the Zman HaMashiach.
Actually, sounds better than when they left Mitzrayim, those numbers.
Right. Oh, so the Gemara is going to get to it in a second. Very good. The Gemara is going to bring up the issue about Mitzrayim, how many people left Mitzrayim. So if you look here, I want to just read some of the Rashi with you. Two-thirds of the world will be wiped out. And only the third part of it will be left. What's the third part? Anytime we have three people, we're going to break it into a third. Sheminoach nifritu kol olam. From Noach, the whole world. V'gimel banim ayulo. He has three children. And then one, which the chosen one is, shame out of that. Right? V'harei shlish benav, shame. Ushlishi shel shame hu. And the third one of shame is arpachshad. V'bnei shame, elam v'ashur v'arpachshad. Right? V'lud v'aram. U'mistama b'zaro shel arpachshad yesh sherit. And through the zera of Apachshad, there will also be a leftover. Hovi Yisrael Yotzim Mimenu, because they come from him. Ushlishi shel Apachshad, hu shehu shlishi shel Shem, shehu shlishi shel Noach Yivater. Right, so one third of Noach, right, and one third of Shem, and then one third of Apachshad will last. So that Uludibei Reish Lakish Nimtzu Yisrael Mitma'atim Biyoter. So that in this way, Bnei Yisrael are going to be narrowed down, or are going to be, their numbers will diminish significantly according to Reish Lakish. So that's Reish Lakish's opinion, that we always look at one third.
Why is it? Because Bnei Yisrael, all the Bnei Yisrael come from Abraham. They don't even come from Abraham. They come from Yitzchak, which is even...
Right.
So why... So I'm not interested in anyone else. It's not that Am Yisrael. Not that Am Yisrael comes out from the three sons of Noach. And if I say only a third, so I lose two thirds.
Okay, I wasn't addressing. Rashi addresses what you're saying. So Rashi says, right. So out of our Pachshad, we're going to divide all of his descendants into a third. Only a third will survive. So Rashi says like this. Or since you brought up the question, we'll just say, so then when he says, okay, so now we're going to go. So he says, if we take take all the descendants of our Pachshad, you know, Bnei Israel, Vishmael, Shem Bnei Abraham. I mean, they're all included, like you said, they're all included. And then Ubnei Lot, Ubnei Haran, Bechein Shar Umot, Shiatumi Menu, Legimel Chalakim. So you have to divide them up into three parts. Shema Yisrael Yumrubim, Ukrovim Liot Keneged Kulam. How do you know? And this is, it's a difficult assumption. He says, well, maybe Bnei Israel will be 50%. I mean, that there'll be, all the others will be 50%, and then Bnei Israel are 50%. Now, you need to take out two-thirds of them. So that will eat into Bnei Israel. It's going to eat into them another, 17.5% of Bnei Israel are going to get eliminated through that. So he says, even if you don't say that Arpachshad, and we're talking about a third means a third of just Bnei Israel, Rashi says, you're right, Arpachshad has many more descendants than just Bnei Israel, but if you take them as a whole, and they say only a third can survive, maybe Bnei Israel will be more than a third of that. If they're more than a third, right, then Bnei Israel are going to lose out a lot. Turns out that it's probably not that way. We're not even close to a third of it. I mean, take Bnei Ishmael and Bnei Esav, right, which are all descendants of Arpachshad, then we're not even close to a third. And, meaning saying one third will survive, that's more than all the Jews are right now. But it just, that's Rashi's interpretation. What you ask, Rashi tries to deal with over here. Then, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, Exampta, right, Reish Lakish, it's too much. Can't say that. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo nechal marad malhu, okay, el afilu shlishi shel Noach. So what does that mean? Afilu shlishi shel Noach. So now Rashi brings two interpretations here about what it means to be shlishi. So he says one is im en Yisrael merubim kol kach v'yachot echad migimol shel ba'olam yu agerim chasidei ovdei chachavim lashlim l'shlish. So that's Rabbi Yochanan says the other way around, that if Bnei Yisrael don't equal up to one third, then the others will be added to Bnei Yisrael to get to a third. How do we get others? We have the Geirim and Chasidei Umot Olam, and we put all those together, that'll constitute the third. So Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting that Bnei Yisrael are less than a third, and then they're going to be added up to or get up to a third. How do they get up to a third? That's by adding on. That's one interpretation. Rashi does not like this. And he brings a second interpretation, which is, Lashna Aricha, Shlishi Shel Shem, Vashlishit Mashma Shnei Shlish. Means the exact opposite. The Shlishit doesn't mean one third, but rather means two thirds. Right? So that's the, Lakach Nemar Shlishit. Shlishit Shel Shlish Lashem, Ktiv B'nei Shem Eilam Vashur Vapachshad, Yisrael ma'apachshad avu, u'shlishit ma'apachshad shu shlishi l'shem yivater, haino shlishit mi'Yisrael, ele shlishi shel Noach, klomar, kloach parashpad yivater ba, shu shlishi shlishi shel Noach. The next interpretation of Rashi is that when Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not one third, but the third, which is that means the third of Noach, which is Shem, and the third of Shem is Arpachshad. All of Arpachshad will remain. Everybody from Arpachshad will remain. Not that it's one third, and then even one third of Arpachshad will be remain. No, A bakshad in his entirety will remain. It's a shlishit of a shlishi, meaning that there's three and three, and that's it. After a bakshad, anybody who is from a bakshad will survive. So that would be right, a lot of people, or meaning that would be no diminishment of Bnei Yisrael in that case. So either way, Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation is that Bnei Yisrael, there will be nobody wiped out from Bnei Yisrael, only be either added or all Bnei Yisrael will survive. On the other hand, Rish Lakish is suggesting that there'll be some sort of diminishment of Bnei Yisrael, that they won't all make it through. So now, Amar Leih Rabbi Yochanan, in this case, we have another interpretation, which is, Kianochi ba'alti yivachem, lakachti yachem echad me'ir, ushnai me'mishpacha. So Amar Rish Lakish, damarim kichtavam. That's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to take echad me'ir, and shnai me'mishpacha. What's the implications of that? That many people are going to be, might not make it. There's going to be a few, a chosen few that make it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, nechalu demayru, demayru alchi. Again, we don't want to go with this interpretation. Ella, echad meir mezake kol ha'ir kula. One person in the city can bring along the entire city with him. One tzaddik in the city will have his whole city be zochel yadav. Shnayim mimishpacha mezakin kol mishpacha kula. Two people in a family, they can save the entire family. Yativ Rav Kahana kamei d'Rav. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav. Yativ Kamar, he said, Dvarim kichtavam. Just like Rish Lakish, he says that the pasuk is taken literally. I'm like, Rav, lo nechle namayro demar lo hachi. You don't want to say this. Ela, echad meir mezakeh kol yir, shnayim mimishpacha mezakim kol mishpacha. Again, the same interpretation, same idea that Rish Lakish Rav Yochanan, the same thing with Rav Kahana, with Rav. Now, chazi yodav kachayif reshei, v'solik v'yotiv kamei d'Rav. Rav saw that Rav Kahana in the morning used to go and shampoo his hair and basically take a shower before he came to shir in the morning, and then come and sit in front of Rav after he took a shower. Amalei says, "V'lo timatze be'eretz ha'chaim." He says, "You won't be found in Eretz ha'chaim. You won't be found in the land of the living." And he says, "Amalei milat kalayiti? You're cursing me? I mean, what is this? You mean I'm not going to be found in the land of the living? I mean, it sounds like it's not going to get a lot of blah, something. I mean, it sounds very, very right ominous." What are you saying? You're cursing me? So he says, no, I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what the pasuk says. The pasuk tells us the truth, which is, lo timtza Torah b'mi shemechaya etzmo aleha. Torah will not be found on the one who makes himself alive on it. Now, what I'll tell you is that the Gemara, Shabbos says, zot ha-Torah adam ki yamut ba'al. Right, so it should have really written in the Torah, like it says by all other things in Vayikra, right? Zot Torah tachatat, zot Torah ta'ola. Instead, by adam ki yamut ba'al, when it comes in by Midbar in Parshat Chukat, instead of saying zot Torah adam ki yamut ba'al, right, which should have been nismach, it says zot ha-Torah. And then Adam Kiyamut Wa'al. So it's using the wrong term. Instead of saying Torat, which would be the Nismach, it would be this is the parsha of such and such, or this is the process of such and such, it says Zot HaTorah. This is the entire Torah. What do you mean this is the entire Torah? Adam Kiyamut Wa'al. So where does the Gemara say this? Right? Ein Torah mitkayemet ela mei shememit atzmo alea. Torah is only found on the one who kills himself over it. Meaning that the Torah is acquired by a person who really, you know, sacrifices and makes the effort to kill himself to reach the Torah. So not in a literal sense, but he pushes himself physically in the physical world. He pushes it very hard. You know, miyot shena, miyot achila, all these things. He's not neneh meolam, and he just focuses on limud haTorah. So that is someone who is Torah mitkayemem etimato. So here you have the opposite, which is lo timtza Torah, but mi shemechayei atzmo aleha. So this is the opposite, right? Mi shememit atzmo aleha doesn't mean right that. He doesn't kill the Torah. He's pushing himself. So over here, one is mechayeh atzmo. That means that he's neneh. He's taking things easy. Right? He doesn't push himself too hard. He enjoys olam hazeh, and so on and so forth. That is what we say over here, that he won't be found. Torah will not be found in here. So that's the what the pasuk is saying, or what Rav is explaining to him, is that I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling you a reality. The reality is that if you're showering every morning and you're luxuriating every morning and, you know, washing your hair, that's not going to lead to Torah sticking around with you. Again, this is in a time where they, Bekoshi, you know, showered once a week. You know, I mean, that was for Erev Shabbos Kodesh, they buried it. Here, if he's doing this every day before he comes to Shir, that was considered to be, right, beyond the normal or beyond the pale that someone would do this every single day. That was already Mifunak. To be showering every day. So that, I don't think that necessarily applies to today, but it applies in their day. This was something that was considered to be luxurious. to shower every day and pampering of oneself. And he says, if you pamper yourself like this, that's not going to be the one who Torah is mitkayemet elea. You need to be mimit atzmola. You have to kill yourself over Torah in order for Torah to be mitkayemet ita. All right, now, Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimai Omer, Yemar, says the Pasuk in Vaira, Lekachti etchem li la'am, and there it says, these are the Arba, or the Chamisha Lishonei Gula, Venemar Veveti etchem. Pasuk says, I will take you, right, Lekachti, and the other Lashon of Veveti, which is the fifth Lashon Gula, which is, I'll bring you into the land of Israel. Ekishi Tziyatam in Mitzrayim, Levitiyam La'aretz, there's a hekesh between their leaving Mitzrayim and going into Eretz Israel. Kedalia, this is what you were asking before. Ma biyatam la'aretz shtayim misamach ribo. Just like this week's parsha, right, which is just like when they came into the Eretz Yisrael, only 2 out of 600,000 made it. Right, what's that? 600,000 people died by Midbar Azeh. That's the people that were counted to be 20 and 60. For 20 to 60 were 600,000 gvarim. All of them made to by Midbar. Except, who are the two exceptions to that? And this week's parsha is Kaleb ben Yefune and Yehoshua ben Nun. So just like when they went into Eretz Yisrael, only 2 out of the 600,000 made it. So too, when they left Mitzrayim, there was only what? 2 out of 600,000 that left Mitzrayim. So that's a percentage. That's it. Oh, so they all died in Makat Choshech. That's the medrash that we have. Chamishim Alui. Right. So this is even a greater number. Right. This is 2 out of 600,000. Samaravo v'chein limolta Mashiach. Same thing, limolta Mashiach, that there will only be 2 out of 600,000 will make it. Right, this is similar to Reish Lakish's idea that only like one third, there'll be some sort of diminishment.
Even more, it's
less.
It's a smaller, it's a much smaller percentage than 1/5, right? This is it.
Right, absolutely.
The two possibilities. One is it's derech huzma. Second one is if you take it, going to take it much more literally, you have to do something like what Shul's saying from the Mara, which is that it's a cumulative number of Jews that lived until this point in time. Or something like what Svi is saying is that the potential number of Jews that could have been born had, right, there not been all the persecution, all that happened to the Jews. There's a different possibilities about how to make it come. Again, I don't know. Rabbi doesn't explain himself, so it's hard to know what he really, really means. Right, Shnemar. Right, exactly. Right. Shnemar vanta shama kimenu ra uchiyom alotam me'aretz Mitzrayim. Right, so that in that time, kimenu ra uchiyom alotam me'aretz Mitzrayim. The same way like they came out of Mitzrayim, that would be the same way that it comes back. How do they leave Mitzrayim? Right, 200 out of 600,000. So too in the Atid Lavo, it'll be 2 out of 600,000. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi, Pam achad nichnasit lagzandra shel Mitzrayim, matzati zachin achad, v'amali bo verech masu avotai lavotecha. So let me go show you, and I'll come here. We'll do a little history lesson about how we handled the Jews that were in our neighborhood. So I said, one, mehem tavu b'yam, some of them they drowned. Mehem argu b'charev, some of them they killed by the sword. Mehem achu b'binyan, and some of them they pressed into the walls, meaning that at the end of Parashat Shemot, when Moshe comes to Paro, and Paro gets upset that the Jews are wasting their time with all these idle thoughts, and he says that Tevin lo nitan lechem, I'm not going to give you Tevin anymore and to fill in. So in that case, the Medrash says that when they didn't have enough Tevin to fill in the walls, and they didn't make up the same Tchonat Elevenim, they didn't get to the same numbers before, they used to put children to replace the bricks in the wall. And because of this whole incident, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. What's that incident? From the moment I came to speak to Paro, everything's gone bad. I mean, things have gone down and downhill. Not only did you tell me I'm coming to save them, right? So you say, here, Moshe, go ahead, you be the leader, and you take them out of Mitzrayim. So I show up here, and instead of things, forget about it, I didn't take them out, things have just gone downhill from the moment you put me in service here. So what do you mean? Why am I doing this? So I'm a little Kodesh Baruch, Chaval al da'avdim velom dishtachin. You know, woe is that we don't have the, from the olden days, we don't have those goodies, the good men from the olden days. What's that? All right, Kama Piyamim Nikleiti al Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I spoke to them, Bekel Shakai, Vlo Hirhuru Amidotai. They never asked any questions. Vamim Midot, Lamru Li Mashmecha. And they didn't ask me what my name was. Amarti l'Avraham, Kumit alech v'aretz l'or kol rachbak ilachad nena. I promise all the land of Eretz Yisrael to Abraham. I say, walk the land north, all around it, because it's all yours. Then, Bikesh makom l'gvor tzarah v'lo matzah. And then he wants to go bury his wife, and he doesn't have any place. Ad shekana b'dal miyok shekel kesef. Until he pays up big bucks, he has to pay big money to get a place for Marat HaMachpelah. Below your hair, Al-Midotai. He doesn't ask one question about it. He doesn't question, how am I supposed to inherit the land? Why am I paying so much? Stay in this land, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you. Says, I tell them to stay here, and I'll take care of you. And they couldn't get water. There was no water. Why? Because they fight with the plishtim over the wells that they dig. Because it says, again, even though I promised I'd take care of him, nevertheless, when there's some altercation about the water and it doesn't come straight or easy, nevertheless, he doesn't question, right, my promise to him. I tell Yaakov that the land that you're sleeping on is all going to be yours. Then, he comes back and he wants to pitch his tent. He doesn't find a place to pitch it until he pays for it. Right? He has to buy the land right outside of Shechem in order to be pitching his tent. And they don't ask any questions. So here I say, these are the avot. These are the tremendous, the patriarchs of our family. And now you, number one, and they never asked me what my name is. Moshe, first of all, when you start out, you start asking me, what's my name? Right? And then the avod asks. Number two is, now you say, right? You haven't saved your nation yet. You sent me here and you're doing nothing to get them out of here. So what does Hashem say to him? Ata tir'eh et asher asir lefaroh. So you'll see. So Hashem responds to Moshe. I mean, it's a direct response to Moshe's question, which Moshe's question is, since I've come here, things have gone badly, number one. And number two is, you haven't saved the people. So what's Hashem's response to him? It's a very direct response, which is, just hang on. You'll see what I'm about to do to Paro. Now, this is just the beginning. Things are gonna pick up from here. That's all he says. Now, the Gemara's mitayek from this, that it's not only was this a direct response, but it's also a punishment for Moshe. Why? Because it says, you will see what happens to Paro, but you will not see the battles of the 31 kings. And this already is an indication to Moshe he will not make it in. He doesn't know it at the time, what Hashem's saying, but Hashem's words already belie the fact that Moshe is not going to make it into Eretz Yisrael, and that's his punishment because he was meharher achar midot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He questioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the ability for Hashem to fulfill, right, what he had promised to do. Again, the Avot, who live in a time, is a very important thing. The Avot are always promised, and none of the promises are fulfilled to them. You know, the fact that they are successful and they have brachot, but nevertheless, none of the promises of the land and the Zerah really turn out to be in their lifetime. Whereas Moshe, who is actually called into service to carry out the promises that were given to the Avot, he's the only one who questions whether Hashem's actually going to do it. The Avot, who it never gets carried out in their lifetime, never question Hashem, and Moshe does. Because of that, he's punished in the sense that he will see Mechemet Paro, but not Mechemet Shoshim Echad Melachim. Moshe v'yikod arza v'yishtachu. Ma ra'a Moshe. What did Moshe see? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamla amar er chapaim. He saw er chapaim. V'rabbanan amar amrei emet ra'a. He saw emet. So this is again by the Maaseh Egel, right? That he says, "Vayimer Moshe vayikod arza." When Hashem is going to forgive them, he says, "What did he see?" So this, the argument here, whether he saw emet or he saw erachapayim. So now Gemara is going to say, "Tanya, Kamando Amar erachapayim ra." It's a bright, like the one who said that he saw erachapayim. Erachapayim means that Hashem is slow to anger. The Tanya, Shalom Moshe Amar Ra Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Shevet Kotev Erachapayim. He's sitting there and reading down erachapayim. Amar Lefanav Yirmi Shalom erachapayim laTzadikim. Is it slow? Are you slow to anger when it comes to the Tzadikim? Amar Lo Afle Rishayim. No, even for the Rishayim. So right as Moshe say, Amar Lo Rishayim Yovedu. What do you need it for the Rishayim? Rishayim should be eliminated, destroyed. So Amar Lo Hashta Chazit. We'll see when you need it. So, Kishachatu Israel, when Bnei Israel were chote by the eagle, Amarlo, Kachamarli, Erchapayim, Letzadikim. Moshe comes up to ask Hashem for forgiveness. Hashem says to him, didn't you tell me that I should be slow to anger only with the Tzadikim? So why all of a sudden now you're asking me for Erchapayim by Rishayim, by the Rishayim Kal Israel? So what was Moshe's response? Amarlo, Fanav, Rishmanov, Lo, Kachamarli. Didn't you respond to me, Afle Rishayim? That's also good for the Rishayim, meaning that Hashem invokes Moshe's understanding of Erech HaPayim, and then Moshe says, well, no, you told me otherwise. So that's it. I don't think that, again, the idea of the conversation here is that Hashem's perspective on the world is much broader and deeper than any human being's understanding of the world. Moshe comes up and sees Erech HaPayim, and he thinks of Erech HaPayim should only belong to the Tzadikim, not realizing that the need for Erech HaPayim is much more broad and necessary when it comes to even the Rishayim. Hashem already understands that Mirosh, So that's when he says, then when Moshe comes back and speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds Moshe of his narrow understanding of Erech HaPayim. Moshe says, now I understand, right? I mean, he's responding, you're right, Hashem, your understanding is much more relevant because it's true. Even the Rishayim are going to need this Erech HaPayim. Vayinuch Tadiv, that's what it says. Vata, yignal na koach Hashem kasher dibarta lemor. Right, so what does it mean? Now, Hashem, yignal koach Hashem, like you said. What does it mean, like you said? Like the way you explained Erech HaPayim. Not like the way I explained Erech HaPayim, but like the way you explained it. Rav Chaga Abasolik V'Azo B'Dargah, the Bay Rabba Bar Shila, was climbing up the stairs, or probably the ladder, they used to learn upstairs, that they're going up to the Bay Rabba Bar Shila. Shamei La'unu Yoko, he heard some children learning in the Cheder, Damar, Eidutecha Nemnu Me'od Leveitcha Navakodesh, Hashem, Yorach Yamim. V'samichle, and it says right by there, Tvila Moshe. Now again, Tvila Moshe is actually three prakim before that. So that means Misamichle means that all these Pirkei Tehillim, we're assuming that the header to this section of Tehillim is Tefillah de Moshe. So Tefillah de Moshe is the header to this section. It means that Moshe wrote these psukim, or wrote these Tehillim that are subsequent to Tefillah de Moshe. So therefore, in Tzadi Gimel, when we say the, right, the, this is familiar to us from Kabbalat Shabbat, when we say in Tzadi Gimel, Edotech Nemud Beit Chanav HaKodesh, Hashem Nerachamim, our assumption is that Moshe is the one who penned, right, who wrote that, because starting from Tzadi already, it's Moshe writing. So Amar Shema Mina Erech HaPayim Ra'ah. Ah, I can see from this, right, that Hashem saw, or what he saw Moshe when he got up there, was a Erech HaPayim. How does he know that from this? Because he says, Hashem the Orach Yamim. What does it mean, the Orach Yamim? Means for Hashem extends forever. Because, how does that pasuk begin in Tehillim Tzadik Gimel? What's the beginning of this? Arba'im shana akud bedor, v'omar am toloi v'ev heim, v'heim lo yidu derachai, v'shen nishbati ba'pi, v'yun el menuchati. So what's the Erech HaPayim, right, that we have over there? The Erech HaPayim has to do with the fact that we have Arba'im Shana Kud Bidor, the 40 years. Who are the 40 years? The people who are in the Midbar. Those that are in the Midbar, right, are the ones that Hashem has to be Ma'arich Apayim for. So because of that, it says, Eidutach Nemud Veit Chanav HaKodesh, Hashem the Orech Yamim. Hashem is the one who extends or gives the Orech Yamim.
Also, during the 40 years, Hashem, the people who died Midbar were killed, they died.
Yeah. But that was the Erech HaPayim. They took all 40 years. I didn't die instantly at the time of the Egel. I mean, that's extended. It's extended over a period of time.
And he allowed them to have children and to replenish.
Right.
Not just to let it come from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Future, Hashem will be a crown on the head of each tzaddik. Shemar b'yomu Hashem tzvakot la teret tzvi ul tzfirat tifara l'she'er amo. So now, what is the so a teret here? The Gemara is playing on the teret tzvi, the crown. So my la teret tzvi ul tzfirat tifara. What does this mean? What does that mean? A teret tzvi and tzfirat tifara. So what does that mean? Liosim ritzon o umitzapim liyishuato. So who are the ones who are going to get a teret tzvi and sfirat tifara? So here the Gemara says osim ritzon o is a teret tzvi, and mitzapim liyishua is the sfirat tifara. Now the Gra actually changes the gears over here, and it reads osim tzivyono. Maybe go for the word tzvi. We're there. We osim tzivyono, the one who does his will or his command. So that comes to the word tzvi umitzapim litifarto, which would make more sense. That would fit with Tzfirat Tifara. Right? That's those. Who are the ones that are going to be crowned by a Kodesh Baruch Hu? You would think that it was everybody that's going to be done, which the Gemara is going to address in a second. But all those that do, Ritzono, do the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Umitzapim, and look forward to his Savior, or Tifrato, the time when his glory will be known. And those are people. So Yachol HaKol, everybody will get this. Tamalomar L'Shir Amo. L'mi Shemitzim Atzmo Kishirayim. It's only for those that are left over. Those that are remnants, make themselves like remnants, they will be the ones who are saved, or the ones that get this bonus. So why is this? That's because the problem here is, Yachol HaKol, Rashi says, the Mish Osim Tzivyono Afaneh Mitzgaya. A person who does the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he's haughty. So that, the puzzle comes to say, no, the only people that are going to be successful are be the ones who get these crowns. Only those that are not haughty, right, and don't consider themselves to be anything special. So that there's a overarching theme of who are the ones who are going to be crowned, right, with the crowns of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those that do His will and look forward to His salvation or to His glory being known. But that's not enough. They have to be cloaked in anava. They have to be those that also do not consider themselves to be anything important. Don't consider themselves to be chashuvim, right? Or don't consider themselves to, to be are not haughty in any way. Those people will benefit. So meaning that you have to have, not only do you have to have the osim ritzono mitzapim lishuato, but you also need the anava to be with it, and those will be muhtarim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ruach mishpat liyoshev ala mishpat. That's the pasuk. So Mar's going to break it down and say, what is this? Ularuach mishpat zeharudeh et yitzro. This is someone who kicks away his yetzer. So Rashi calls it someone who is chozer b'tshuva. Even though he sinned, he now makes the effort to come back and do tshuva and try to rectify what he did wrong. So that's rudeh. He's beating up on his yetzer so that he can make it back. He kicks his yetzer away. Ulyosheva mishpat. Was that zed dan din emet amito? Sheva mishpat. Someone sits. It's a dayan who's dan din emet amito. Uli gvura ze amit gaber beyitzro. This is someone who is overcoming his yetzer. Now, if I had to explain, now you have to explain what's the difference between rode beyitzro and mitgaber al yitzro. So I would explain simply. Rashi goes one step further, but I would explain that rode beyitzro, as Rashi suggests, is someone is kicks out, he gets control over his yetzer. I mean that he was out of control, and now he gains control over it. So that someone is a Baal Tshuva. Now, Mitzgabera Yitzro is someone who overcomes his yetzer, and is able to stop it preemptively. He's able to overcome the yetzer so he never does sin. He stops the yetzer from causing him to sin. Rashi takes it one step further and says, not only is this someone who's Mitzgabera Yitzro Ara, right, and stops him from sinning, but rather he says, that not only does he stop the Yetzer Ra from causing him to do an Aveira, but he's mitgaber, he overcomes the Yetzer and does something good. So Rashi adds on that additional item that he does something good. Not only does he stop the Yetzer, but he does something good. It would have been enough to say simply he's mitgaber the Yetzer, which is that he preemptively, he stops the Yetzer from convincing him to get to the point where he will do an Aveira, as opposed to Rodeh, where he's done the Aveira, and now he has to kick out the Yetzer, or gain control over the Yetzer in order to do Tshuva. And now, Gemara says, "Meshivim melchama ze shenoseh benotein b'melchamta shel Torah." These are those that are conversant in the right, the words of Torah. I mean, these are chavrusas, right, be able to learn Torah together, and through their discussion and discourse and discord comes right the true halacha, the true Torah comes out of it. Sharo, what is sharo? Elo shemashkimim. Umarivim bebatei knesiot ubatei midrashot. Those that come early and stay late in shul and in the batei midrash. So that's the sharo. Those are the gates. So amra midat din lefnei kodesh baruch hu ribono shalom mamishtenu elu mi elu. How are these different than the others? So what I have to point out here is that when we're talking about here, we're talking about psukim in Yishayahu. The puzzle that we read before is bayomahu ayashem tzvakot, right? A teretz vi that there'll be a crown to kodesh baruch hu is pasuk hey, and the pasuk we just read is pasuk vav. In there. So you want to know who are these? These are the people. Who do you want to know? Who are the people that get certain things? And who are these are the people that get certain things? So what is different? The Gemara wants to know, why are these different than the others that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, wants? Meaning that there's the group that we discussed in Hay, and the group that we're discussing in Vav. How are these people different? So Gemara says, so this is Pasuk Zayin. This is the subsequent Pasuk. These also, they went wayward with the wine. Right? They made mistakes with the intoxication. They threw off the yoke of justice. That's what it means here. But the Gemara says, puka ela geinom. Puka really means geinom. Shinemar lo tiyazot lechal the puka. That this shouldn't be for you a puka, meaning this shouldn't be like a stumbling block or something that causes you, right, a problem to go down the geinom. Ve'en plila ela dayanim. And plila means judges. Shinemar natan biflilim. And that's the pasuk by someone who causes, there's a fight and they cause one of the women to miscarry. It says, you have to pay in front of the judges, you have to give the money. So now what the Gemara is dashing is that they perverted justice. that they go to Gehinom because of the miscarried justice. So here, although it does not read easily into the words over here about how it's explained, but the reason that these are different than those is that because the ones who kept the word of Hashem and the ones who did not pervert the justice and did not b'yayin shagu and b'sheichar ta'u, those are the ones who are deserving to be muhtarim ayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're the ones tzaddik v'tzaddik. The others, even though they had midot tovor, they did other things, nevertheless, since they have this problem that they, you know, they enjoyed the wine and the good life, and because of that, the wine and the sheikhar, they perverted the justice that should have been, therefore they're not deserving of the same rewards as those that were mentioned prior, or those that are mentioned beforehand. Now we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah relates, remember that the Perek HaChelek is really in the Mishnayot, the Rishonim is really the 10th Perek, not the 11th Perek. So here we have something that was much more connected to the 9th Perek, and would explain why it's the 10th Perek, which is Irani Dachat. Anche Irani Dachat, now it also fits in this Perek, and that's why it's here, which is Anche Irani Dachat, Elohim Chelek L'Olam Haba. The people of Irani Dachat do not get Olam Haba. Shnemar Yatsu Anashim B'nei B'li'al Mikrbecho B'yadichu Et Yoshvei Yiram. That the people, these Anashim B'nei B'li'al, come out and they push away the Yoshvei Yiram. The Irani Dacha, those that caused the Irani Dacha to happen, they are only punished, or only ki'ot, or the city is only done, we only are done the city as an Irani Dacha, if those that caused the Hadacha came from the city itself. Umioto Shevet, they have to be in the same Shevet. Vajudach Ruba, and that's to be the robe of the city that participates. Vajiduchua Nashim, until it's men that cause it. Hidichua Nashim Biktanim, if the women or children are the ones who were the seducing or trying to convince those to worship at a zara, Oshudach Miuta, or if it's a minority of the city, Oshia Medicha Chutzula, or those that come to push the city to worship at a zara came from outside of the city, Harielu ki Yechidim. They have it done like Yechidim, like a Mesit. And we'll say, what's the difference? It's Yechim Beit Edim V'Atra L'Chol Echad V'Echad. And for each of the Medichim, you need a warning, and you need two Edim about this. Zeh Chomer B'Yechidim Mibirubamim. What's the difference between a Mesit and Mediach? What's the difference between Mesit, we're talking about individuals, and Mediach, which is a whole city? What's the difference? Sheyechidim B'Skila, someone who is Mesit or Nisad gets a punishment of Skila, L'fikach Womanam Palet, their money is saved. Meaning that their possessions don't go because they are killed by skila, which is the more chamor mita. V'amarubim, irani dachat is punished by saif, by the sword. The fikach mumanam avid. Therefore, their money is lost. Meaning that the whole city gets burnt up. All the possessions of the city get caught up. Akeh taket yoshvia ir azot lefi charev. You have to kill them by the sword. Achameret ve'agamelet. So achameret agamelet means a shayara of gemalim or a shayara of chamorim. Right, there are caravans that go through the city. Overet v'makom l'makom that go from city to city. Ha'elu mitzilin ota. They can save the city. Now again, it has to be that they settle in the city for 30 days, but they are not, if they come into the city for 30 days, they can be noted the city to be either a rove or a mir, depending what which way you want to go. They can save the city because they now become a part of the numbers of the city. Shenemar, acharei mota, v'et kol asher ba, v'et behemta, lefi chorev. So that's the pasuk. Probably shouldn't say the word Nehemiah over here. But you have to, but you machrim the whole city and everything that's in it. Mikan amru, nichsei tzadikim shebetocha ovdim. So the possession of the tzaddikim that are in the city, they get destroyed along with the city. Even though they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, even though they're innocent, in some sense, they're innocent, their money goes because they lived in such a city. We kind of wrote that, but as chutzula, but outside of the city platim, that their monies are safe. Rasha, ben tocha, ben chutzula, ariel uvdim. Right, so then, if they rasha, meaning those that worship the Rasha, those who are nitchu, both their possessions in the city and their possessions out of the city are brought to that point. Shnemar vet klo shalala tikbots el toch richava. That you gather all the shlau to the middle of the road. Im ein la rechov, again, I think the word Nehemar should not be here again, going to the Gra, you have to wear Shnemar, it's just the Gemara is actually in the Pesukim, the Mishnah is the Pesukim afterwards. Right, Shnemar, et chosh la tikbot zel toch rechava, im ein la rechov, if it doesn't have a road, osim la rechov, haita rechova chutzala, if you only have a road, a main artery that's outside of the city, konsina ta la tocha, you extend the road now into the city, Shnemar, again, I know it says v'sarapta et ha'ir v'et kol shlala kadil la'Hashem lokecha shlala v'lo shlala shamayim, that it's only the possessions of the people and not that which belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mikan amru hakdeshot sheba, right, ipadu, that all the kdeshot in there should be redeemed. Utrumot yirkavu, any truma that belongs to a kohen, is a kohen is going to be put to death as part of the city, those trumot be let to rot. Maser sheni v'kitvei hakodesh yiganzu, they'll be put into gniza. Again, it's not appropriate for them to be burned along with the city. So we put all of them, they have to be taken out like the rest of the city, but so we put them into Gniza. Kalil la'Hashem lokecha, Amar Rav Shimon Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, im atem osin din b'ir anidachat, male ani aleichem kilo atem malim ola kalil lifanai. If you do what you're supposed to do with the anidachat, it's like you're makriva korban to me. Korban ola, kalil, because you burn the whole city, right? Everything that's wiped out. Vaita tel olam lo taseh ginot upardesim divrei Rabbi Yossi Agli. What does it mean tel olam? It means that it's forever, it will be remain destroyed. So what does that mean? No parks, no orchards, you can't use it whatsoever. It becomes a desolate place. Kibo mer lo tivne ol bekamot shaita eni nidmeit aval nasiti ginot upardesim. You can't rebuild it into a city, into a residential neighborhood, but you can make it into parks and orchards. You can use it, but not again for the same use that it was before. As long as there is Rishayim in the world, there is Choronaf Be'olam. Avdu Rishayim in Olam, if the Rishayim are wiped out from the world, then the anger of Hashem leaves the world. Tana Banan, we have a Brayta now. Yatsu. Right, so now we have to say Yatsu. What does it mean, you? Yatsu? Hein velo shluchim. It has to be the people who are trying to convince them to worship Azara. It has to be them in person. It has to be them in a person. Velo shluchim, and not their messengers or people who are coming on their behalf. Anashim. Ain anashim pachot mibet. Anashim is plural. You have to have at least two. Devar acher anashim has to be men. Velo anashim and not women. Anashim velo ktanim. Men and not, meaning people of age, not minors. Bnei Bilial. What is Bnei Bilial? Bnei shperku ol shumai mitzavrayem. Bnei Bilial means bli ol. Bilial is bli ol. It's a conjugation. It means those without the yoke of heaven on them. Mikir Becha, it has to be from amongst you, v'lo min ha-safar, not from the border. Meaning that the city has to be within Eretz Yisrael, not on the border. Yoshvei Yiram, v'lo Yoshvei Yir Acheret, has to be from this city itself that the Medichim come, and not from another city. Leimor, so what is Leimor? Meshitrichim edim v'atra l'chol echad v'echad. That you need edim v'atra for each one of them. That's what you mean, Leimor. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, chukim ha'ir achat l'shnei shvatim. Yochanan says that there can be a city in Eretz Yisrael that is divided amongst two shvatim. That every city doesn't have to belong to a single shevet. You might have cities that are borderline cities. And those borderline cities, the border runs through the middle of the city. Half the city belongs to one shevet, half the city belongs to another shevet. Rashi Lakish Shamar, Ein Chokim Irachat. Right? He says you cannot split one city, the bet shvatim. Yeah, by Yerushalayim, Nechlekal Shevet Yehuda Binyamin. Right, that was al pi adibur, right? Or there's actually be a machlokes tanaim, so it's not so clear. Rishak is just called like the one who says that it's lo nitchalkal l'shvatim. Right, there's two opinions, machlokes tanaim, about whether it was nitchalkal l'shvatim between Binyamin and Yehuda, or Yerushalayim lo nitchalkal becomes like a national city, and nobody owns it. It belongs to none of the shvatim. So Rish Lakish could just hold like that position that it's not lo nitchalkal, or you could say that was al pi adibur. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, ad shiyu midecha mioto yir umioto shevet. The mission says that they have to be number one from the same city, and they have to be even the same shevet. My love, why would you have to be even the same shevet? If you believe that a city can never belong to two shvatim, then automatically from the same city, they are from the same shevet. Ella, ma, my love, afakad demichel miotah ir, iika miotah shevetin, ilo lo. No, the possibility is that what? The people can be from the city, but they can be from the other half of the city. They can be from the other shevet that's in the city. So if those shevet comes to tell you, even within the one city that's split between two shvatim, right? One, the people came from the other side of the city, came from the other shevet. Shema minah, chukim achat, the bet shvatim. So you can see that you can split a city into two shvatim. Otherwise, if you told me otayir, I would automatically know it's oto shevet. So the fact that the requirement is otayir and oto shevet tells you that within one city there could be two shvatim. Says, no, what do you mean? Denafalei birusha, inami de'avu ne'alei b'matana. Right, you can have somebody who lives in the city who's not from that shevet. You just can't split it between shvatim. What happens if he inherited from his, right, from his mother's family? He was a daughter that would inherit and now married into another shevet. So you can have people that come from another shevet are now found inside the city. So you can have that, or somebody gave him a gift in the city. So you can have people from other shvatim in the city, just not that the city belongs to this shevet, to a single shevet. So Rishon said, not our proof. Eitvi, Arim Tisha. talking about the Arei Leviim and Yoshua that they split up. It's between Shimon and Yehuda. It says from these cities they gave 9 cities to the Leviim. But it doesn't tell you. It says Shimon and Yehuda gave 9 cities. But it doesn't tell you how many from Shimon and how many from Yehuda. My love, Arbo Pagamehai, Arbo Pagamehai. They each gave 4.5 cities. Oh, what do you mean 4.5 cities? There was one city that was a joint Yehuda and Shimon city, and that they gave to the Leviim. So you might know, Chokim Archad, the Beit Shvatim, you can say, slow, Arba Mehai, V'chamesh Mehai, 4 from this, and 5 from that. So Mar says, Yochel, Frushe, Perushe. If that's the case, the Pasuk should explain to you how many from Shimon, how many from Yehuda, seems to be, right, when the Pasuk is so tame, it's because it's understandable, or self-understood. The fact is here that it's not understood. So Mar says, Kasha, you're right, that's a good question. And that's, Rashi says, the Lashon HaPasuk is a kasha, but it's not loi totav. It's not enough to make it into a tiyufta. And he doesn't explain why, but he says, not enough to be. Ibailu, hutchumi aleihem mayhu. What's the din if they are self, right, hudach? I mean, that they themselves convince themselves to worship Avodah Zarah, the whole city. So, Mar says, vayadichu amar rachmana, veloshu hutchumi aleihem. That they were pushed, right, by others to do it, and not that they went by themselves. Odilma. Or maybe if they do it by themselves. Tashma. Right? When it comes, when women and children push them, they are not considered an Eirei Dachat. So Gemara says, am I? It should be no better or no worse than if they did it on their own. I mean, it's okay, fine, to just say that the women and children are not here. So Gemara says, no. Hanach batu nafshayu. Greedy. Hi, any barta nashim ektanim greedy. So, the word greedy is really the Aramaic form, as Rashi points out, for the word greerei, for being dragged along. So, when it comes to when a person does it themselves, then they're adukim yoter. A person convinces themselves to worship Avodah Zarah, then they're much more attached to the Avodah Zarah, and they're much more susceptible to staying that path. And that's why maybe that would be considered a hadacha or a iranidacha. On the other hand, when it's women and children that are convincing them and pushing them that way, again, since it's an outside force or an outside individual that pushes them to worship the Avodah Zarah, that doesn't stick as much. And therefore, maybe the halacha is that by women and children, right, there is no iranidacha. Why? Because that can easily be undone, or it's much more easy to do tshuva in that case. Whereas by the case where you push themselves to do it, right, the halacha would be that you are chayav. So we can't prove anything from the fact that women and children are not classified as an irani dachad, whereas Udchumi Atzman is somewhere sits between. Udchumi Atzman sits between women and children and someone else being mediach. So it's not that it's on equal footing, but it's in the middle level, and therefore we can't prove anything from women and children to this. So we leave it as an unanswered question. Stop over here.